Strikes with a vengeance. Americans strike back with generosity. Thanks to your monetary donations, the Salvation Army is there from the very beginning and remains until the healing is complete, serving the physical and emotional needs of disaster victims and emergency responders. Give today at 1-800-SAL-ARMY or salvationarmyusa.org and help the Salvation Army continue doing the most good.
You're listening to the 50,000-watt multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley. New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia. The time is 3 p.m. The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the program sponsor, advertisers, New World Radio, WNWR, its staff, management, owners, or licensees. No decision should ever be made when solely based on advice heard on the radio. Please consult with a professional in the field before taking any action on information presented in this broadcast.
The following program is brought to you by the CyberSoft Operating Corporation.
It's time for the Tri-State Area's brand new 50,000-watt radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now, here's the host of Between the Minutes, Peter Radradotti.
Good afternoon and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show, brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Radotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature Inside Your Computer. This is similar to my newspaper article, Inside Your Computer, in the Philadelphia Public Record, discussing many interesting topics about computer security. I'm away on vacation this week, but you're going to have a special guest host of Frank Cheech Amable. Today's Computer Corner is all about computer security myths. It's our own little version of the Mythbusters television show, except this is radio and we're not going to use high explosives. The first myth is that antivirus programs are not needed. It's true that some people don't get virus infections because they use their computers in very restricted ways that reduce their exposure to infections. Actually, this is really not true from a practical point of view because with many infections, the user will just never know that they're infected with something hostile that may be waiting for a chance to steal banking, credit card, or password information. It's a matter of luck, and every year that number of attacks goes up and the chance of being lucky goes down. Eventually, you will get an infection and you may or may not know it. For peace of mind, for due diligence, for protection, you should buy and install and run a good antivirus program. I suggest you try the free 30-day sample of a Windows antivirus program from CyberSoft. You can download the sample from www.cyber.com. That's www.cyber.com. The second myth is that antivirus companies are who is creating the attack programs in order to create a market for their products. This has never been true in the United States or Western Europe. Last year, it became true in China, where a Chinese antivirus company released an attack program that they used to increase their market share. The president of that company was sentenced to death, but it was later commuted to life in prison. American companies would never risk the catastrophe of creating attack programs in order to create a market. First, the lawyers would have a party. There wouldn't be enough left of the company to put in a shoebox. Secondly, it's a criminal act, and the presidents of antivirus companies don't want to go to jail. Lastly, there is no need. There's enough crooks, malcontents, and anarchists making attack programs that really it would be a drop in the bucket to add to that already large volume of work. Another myth is that once you have an antivirus program, you don't need to do anything else. Not true. Antivirus programs do their best, but things can happen. Even if a hostile program does not attack you, your computer can break, taking everything with it. Fortunately, there is a solution. Back up your computer. If you only have a small amount of information that needs to be backed up, you can buy a large and inexpensive thumb drive, which you can use to copy all of your critical data. If you want to back up everything or you just have a lot of stuff, then consider a USB-attached external disk drive. You can buy a 1.5 terabyte USB drive for around $100 these days. That should be enough to save everything. Having a backup is knowing that you have protected all of your valuables from accidental destruction. Our last myth for today is that you cannot become infected from CDs or thumb drives. In fact, not true. There have been many CD-ROMs that were infected and distributed from the factory that way. The Stuxnet virus was spread by thumb drives, and it derailed the Iranian nuclear weapons program. This is such a serious problem that Microsoft has announced they're going to release a patch to disable certain features of thumb drives that help them spread attack programs. So what does this mean to you? If you have an antivirus program installed, it should normally scan and block infected CD-ROMs and thumb drives when you insert one in your computer. If a virus scanner finds something bad, believe it and don't go around your virus scanner. In wrapping up this week's segment of Inside Your Computer, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article, Inside Your Computer, every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. You can also listen to us on our website at www.BetweenTheMinutes.com. Our special guest host this week is Frank Cicciamabli. We'll be right back with today's guests on Between the Minutes on Radio.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McTavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the AES YMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, Executive Director of TownWatch Integrated Services, and Philadelphia needs you. We would like you to join the TownWatch group or start a TownWatch group in your community. To get in touch with me, you can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can go to our website, www.townwatch.net, or you can go to philadelphia.gov, the Philadelphia website, and put in TownWatch, and you will find us and fill out an information slip. Philadelphia needs you. The impact on the quality of life, and help us to make sure that Philadelphia is a safer city. 215-686-1459. Thank you.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. Between the Minutes reaches a large listening audience throughout the Tri-State area with 50,000 watts of power. You could increase your selling power by advertising on the Between the Minutes program. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
It's time for the Tri-State area's brand new 50,000-watt radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, And now, here's our Between the Minutes guest host, Frank Gamable.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals. While Pete Rodotti's on vacation, I will be your guest host, and I'm Frank Gamable. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Let's get back to today's show and guest on Between the Minutes. Today joining us is Councilwoman Maria Quiñones Sanchez and State Senator Anthony Hardy Williams. Welcome to the show, Councilwoman Sanchez.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation again.
You're very welcome. It's great seeing you. Quick question. With the primary elections coming up on May 17th, give us your opinion of the election. And are you ready to hit the streets running?
Well, I have been hitting the streets. This is today is the end of the petition process. And as you well know, gathering those signatures in this weather has been quite difficult. So we've been out there in the street already working it. This year, I think it's very interesting. You know, for all the hoopla the freshman class brought to City Council in 2008, this year we are faced with potentially six new faces and maybe even more with some of these contested races, including mine. But the thought of six new people after, you know, some folks retiring, President Anna Verna, who must be the classiest lady in Philadelphia, retiring after 60 years of service. Frank DiCicco, my colleague, recently as yesterday, deciding not to run. Donna Reed Miller retiring, Jack Kelly, Joan Krajewski. So it is quite a change in what we were expecting. So I'm hoping that because the top of the ticket is an exciting city council will be an exciting race. So with all those new people coming in, I think the interesting thing has been all of the candidates in the field. I need to ask you what your sentiment is, particularly in South Philly, where the first council and the second council district is drawing, you know, dozens of candidates. And I think on the one hand, that's good because people are interested in public service. On the other hand, it's hard because, you know, we like to play politics like we play sports, and it's hard to know who's on first.
Or second and sometimes third. Well, tell you the truth, everybody seems around election time, especially the primary. They're always asking about changing of the guard and who's changing this. Well, they got it this time.
Mm-hmm.
And to the tune of, like you said, there's quite a few amount of people running. The first and second wards, it's amazing because you're talking about icons stepping down.
Right.
And
right.
Then you have all these other people that are jockeying for position. I'm just worried whoever gets in there, if they're even going to be able to come close to filling the shoes that they're left there for.
You know, one of the things that I learned very quickly being a council person is that every single person there represented a constituency and had a track record in their communities. And whether we agreed politically on some of the issues, you know, clearly when I did stuff on immigration, you know, Joan and Jack couldn't never support it or whatever. But, you know, I got to know the people and I got to see their passion for their neighborhoods and their representation. You take someone like Joan Krajewski for all the criticism she gets about drop. She was elected when Rizzo and the guys were around. I mean, she was one of those pioneering women, and you got to give it to her. She talk about being tough. She is tough. So I have a great respect for Joan, for the contributions Jack Kelly did. He is in the office next to me, and I've had the opportunity to sit with him over wine quite a few times. And he represented the 7th Councilmatic District that I now represent. And I've learned tremendously about his insight to the landscape, the changing landscape of politics, of neighborhoods. Donna Reed Miller sits next to me in council. And I knew her, very little of her before I came to council. And the time that I've sat next to her, you know, when she asks a question, she tells a story. And those stories become so important because that's her way of saying I'm in tune to my constituents and what they feel. So, you know, this is quite a bunch of folks that are leaving at one time. They have all left their footprints. And you're right, you know, for all the candidates, and the other night I was at a candidates forum, and it was interesting because I was the only incumbent there. So everybody's running with all these new ideas. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And I felt myself defending my colleagues and saying, wait a minute, guys, it's not that easy. It's not that simple. But it was just interesting because, you know, that was me 4 years ago saying we need to do this and we need to do this. And I think council, particularly in the last 3 years, council has been a very strong council. And it's been a very strong council because we've not approved the mayor's budgets the way he's presented them. When we've disagreed, we've done things differently. So the council, the institution, does not always get the credit that it deserves. And I hate to see all of those colleagues who are moving on leave. I've learned tremendously from them. And I think you're right. I think folks running for these seats think this is going to be easy. It's not easy. These folks have years and years of experience and wisdom that on-the-job training, it's going to be rough.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree wholeheartedly with you. It seems to me that the changing of the guard, so to speak, as we see, the people that are left here, certainly you and other people, you've become, in a sense, the old heads now.
Yeah.
And you've moved forward.
Go figure.
But I have to say, hopefully, with some of these people getting voted in, these fresh new ideas are, something that could be worked in what's already existing and hopefully promote things to move smoothly and efficiently, as we all would like to see as citizens of the city. It will be very, very interesting. I mean, I've been very political. I've been very involved, and I was involved with the last two primaries ago, and I would love to be back in it this time because just the challenges and opportunities and the different people.
Well, we need people like you, Cheech. I think it's important. I think one of the things that the freshman class learned very early on was that there were no new ideas. Everything that we thought was coming up that was fresh, somebody tried it. There was a reason why it didn't work. And I think if I give any advice to the new folks coming in is that, when we went back in the records, every little piece of legislation that we've introduced and that I've introduced has been discussed in the last 20, 30 years. It just – something didn't happen. It wasn't the right time or those types of things. But you need that historical context. I think it's so very important sometimes. So we need people like you to come back and make sure that these new young Turks understand that council is not an easy job, and getting to know all of the neighborhoods. I think the beauty of Philadelphia is we're a city of neighborhoods, but that means you got to get to know neighborhoods. And works on one side of the street will not work on the other side of the street. And how do you make those connections? It is not as easy as it appears.
And it's so true. I grew up in South Philly, dead in the center of South Philly, and it was like although it was considered a neighborhood, there was like 20 neighborhoods inside of it.
You didn't walk to certain, Tasker Street was one thing, and, Mifflin
exactly.
was another. And
you walk two, three blocks out of your neighborhood, and you're readdressing issues for a whole different set of issues.
Yep.
So I agree 100%. A little outside of city council, I see that there's a lot of other people positions. City commissioner, there's a lot of people I see running for that. I see now there's a handful for a guy that I always respected, John Green, who was our sheriff.
Right.
So there's all through the system, all through the primary, through the ticket, there's going to be new people all over the place. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this all comes together at the end or to whatever capacity all that comes together is.
it's true because you got all these new faces and all these new names, and it's sort of like how much information are we going to be able to get to the voters in the next – I think there's something like 70 days left between now and the primary. How much information can people take, and are they paying attention? I think, again, one of the interesting things with having so many new people is that you're going to get people, doing registration and trying to get new people, but how much messaging can we get? You have, as I was filing this morning, Blair Talmadge, former commissioner, Alex Talmadge's brother, filing for city commissioner. I'm like, what are you here for? He's like, I'm falling. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm a city commissioner. So you have all these, Ivy Staten is running, Stephanie Singer's running for city commissioner. So you have a robust group there. Jewel Williams had a huge announcement yesterday for sheriff. So there are going to be some new faces. Fortunately, in the case of Jewel Williams, he's not new to politics, having been a state legislator for a long time. It'll be interesting as we talk about the budget and some of these row offices, particularly where we've seen some of the scandals happen. It'd be interesting what new take and what proposals could the candidates put forth, because I think ultimately is do you have a vision? Do you have a plan? And can you get it implemented? And I want one of the things for the row office folks to understand is this doesn't work unless they're working with the mayor and city council. And I think if we've seen anything in this is we got to work together on some of these issues.
You had touched base on budget and the mayor and stuff. I want to ask you a question that's been a real glowing item, so to speak, in the papers and radio and just in conversation in general. What are your thoughts on all the rumblings going on with the drop program?
That's a very interesting one. Last night I was at District Council 47 discussion. Drop is a complicated retirement plan that can't be spun in 30 second sound bites. And, you know, so it's easy for the mayor to say, just drop, and that be the case. And one of the things for those of us who have to analyze it, look at the numbers, for all the criticism City Council got about doing its own study, then we find out the mayor's study says $250 million, and then our study says $100 million. Well, $150 million gap is a huge gap, because ultimately what we're talking about is less than $10 million a year. So the issue is dropping drop, as opposed to making it what it was supposed to be, which is revenue neutral, which I think there's so many options that we can get there. But the one thing, and I'll leave this in people's minds because I think it's an important piece and one people can relate to, firefighters don't pay into Social Security. This is how they plan for their retirement, drop. Because of drop, we've had firefighters stay on the job longer, and they need this to retire and how they plan for their retirement. And as we look at the fires and we look at all these things that are going on with the fire department, you know, when you say just drop, we're thinking of all those firefighters that risk their lives every day, or the police officers. So it's not that simple. It's not something that, I know the city solicitor said council can eliminate it. I disagree with that. I think it's all part of collective bargaining, and that's where it needs to be modified. I think, again, council, we're doing some analysis, and I think we're going to come up with creative ways to make it revenue neutral, but allow that option for those people who need to use it. Elected officials, we broke it, so now we got to fix it. This was not meant for us. It was the first bill, the freshman class we put in. We exempted ourselves immediately. We were, you know, we understood that the perception is a bad one. But for those men and women who risk their lives every day, they deserve an opportunity to use drop the way it was intended to be used, which is a management tool so they can manage their retirement and the city can plan for those retirements. So for all the hoopla, and I know in election season some people are going to run on this, it's a different reality.
And I agree with you, especially with the police department people and the fire department people and risking their lives. Absolutely. A question a little different but pertinent to this. We got all these new people coming in. We're trying to with the election. I have yet to hear anything about how they perceive or what they want to do with the drop. Are you hearing anything?
Well, I mean, a lot of them are busy just running on drop and saying, you know, I'd vote to eliminate drop. Again, they don't have the benefit of studying some of the issues. You know, the freshman class who came in, we had an opportunity to spend 6 months together learning together, and we didn't know each other well. I knew Curtis Jones from his work in the city. I didn't know Bill Green. Thanks to our friend Tommy Massaro, we spent 6 months. We met with every single former managing director. We met with every single former mayor who was alive. We met with many different commissioners, existing commissioners. Rob DeBoe, our current finance director, sat with us many hours. And I will encourage all of the new folks who get elected to go through a similar experience. It's one thing to run on the sound bites. It's another thing to analyze the data, look at the information. I mean, I think that we've made government more efficient. The economy has forced us to make government more efficient. I think there's still some improvements we can make on how we use technology. You know that. You know, we're sitting here in a show sponsored by Cybersoft. I'm sure you're just as frustrated with the city not taking on some of the products that you guys have to offer. So I think there's a lot of room for us to grow and be able to get some government efficiencies. And so I would encourage them to study the stuff. One of the statements I had made when I was running was, you know, eliminate the gross receipts. It's bad. And then here I am, you know, introducing legislative reform to keep it and eliminate net profit. So, you know, you say these things until you got to look at the numbers, and the numbers speak clearly for themselves. So I'm going to encourage all the freshman class coming in to do that. Obviously, I have a contested election, so I don't want to assume that I will be there. I will spend the next 70 days out there telling my story and what I've done in the last 3 years. But God willing, and my coming back and being a more senior member of City Council, I'm going to work with our new colleagues to ensure that that we analyze data and analyze numbers in a way that we take into consideration our city workers, the economy, and the taxpayers, and that there doesn't need to be one loses for the other, that there could be a win-win.
Absolutely. It's funny what you're saying, because just recently, this past weekend, on 9th Street in the Italian Market, a mm-hmm. gentleman that I know is running in the first ward, he came up to me, what are you going to do? And I says, not very much, and usually that's my answer. And I put my hands on his shoulder. I says, you're the new kid on the block, so to speak, and you want to try to make a move into something that could be bigger than life.
Mm-hmm.
I says, and always remember this, because I seen some of your campaign logos and stuff. Don't always think surface is the content. They could be completely two different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me perplexed, like, there's a lot of agendas still out there.
Mm-hmm.
That if you just look at the surface to try to get in, when you get in there, you're going to wish the content was the surface, how it got you in there.
That's right.
You know?
Be careful what you ask for.
Because you may damn well get it.
No, and South Philadelphia in the first Councilmatic district, where clearly in the last 10 years has seen tremendous, tremendous development. You know, whatever you want to say about Frank DiCicco, Passyunk Avenue, you know, we were just talking about going out to dinner, the restaurants. I mean, he's done a tremendous job there.
Absolutely. Knowing that man as long as I have, being a South Philly man, boy all my life, he has made many, many, many contributions. And not only just contributions, great ones.
Yeah, he has. And I've learned a lot from, again, all of my colleagues. I must tell you that I wasn't sure what the reception was going to be coming in. And obviously I knew some council people because I'd worked as a council aide before. But everybody in council on different issues, whether it was Joan Krajewski on amnesty or Frank DiCicco on the trash fee, you know, they have really gelled and worked with me, and it's been a very, very great experience. And I have, again, great respect for all of them.
Well, Marie, as long as I've known you, you've always impressed me as a mm-hmm. mover and a shaker. And when you became city councilwoman, I was glad but not surprised, because your track record speaks volumes for you.
Well, I am running. Again, the gentleman I beat last time who was there temporary is running. I am having some difficulties in obtaining the party support that traditionally goes incumbents, but I'm not going to complain about it. It's part of the game. You have to play it, and you got to play it to win, and I'm going to take this campaign like I did my first one, to the street, and let the voters decide. You know, I made a lot of promises when I ran. I think we've delivered on most of them, and most of those are you know, in progress, so I feel very comfortable with my track record, but I have to tell the story. You know, people got to be reminded. You know, you've been in this business a long time. You got to tell them yesterday, and then you got to tell them today, and you got to tell them tomorrow.
I remember, that's so true, just human nature in general. Mm-hmm. I remember doing construction. I told the same guys, the same thing every morning.
Right.
And
right.
The one time I didn't, then amnesia set in.
Right, the next day they came in, didn't put the stuff where they were supposed to, didn't clean up right. Well, we're in that same situation. So I'm looking forward. I think in a democracy, you want to be challenged. You want people to hold, you know, ask you the questions, and I think people are entitled to. But we feel very strongly that we've done what we can. I work hard, and I've been effective, and that's important. People see that you know, I work hard. And a lot of people can work hard and not be effective, but I think we've been tremendously effective. Governor Rendell has been tremendous, tremendously supportive to my district and the projects that are being built. You know, I couldn't have done it without his support, that of Dwight Evans, Senator Williams. You know, I've just gotten a lot of support, and people saying, you know, we believe in the district. I often tell the mayor, you know, we're the district that will either help the city move forward or keep it back. I mean, because we have, you know, 44% of the people in my district live under $20,000. That's not my reality, that's our reality, and how do we lift all those people? So I'm looking forward to this primary debate. I'm looking forward to seeing all the candidates with their ideas, as you say, as they put them forward. And I'm looking forward to, you know, a new cadre and new colleagues who will come in and hopefully did what the freshman class did, which really inspired the talent that was already there. Because I really, again, both Bill Green and Curtis Jones and I benefit so much from that experience that's been there.
That's great stuff, Maria. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. Check us out on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McDavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the ASYMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. Between the Minutes reaches a large listening audience throughout the Tri-State area with 50,000 watts of power. You could increase your selling power by advertising on the Between the Minutes program. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, Executive Director of TownWatch Integrated Services.
And this is Pete Rodotti of Between the Minutes.
And Philadelphia needs you.
Who, me?
Yes, you, Pete. We need you to get involved in your community to impact on the quality of life where you live by starting or joining a TownWatch group.
Really? How do I do that?
You reach out to me at 215-686-1459, or you reach me on the web, www.townwatch.net.
Wow, so I can really join.
You can really join. We provide training, assistance, and support, and we try to address crime in a holistic approach to improve the quality of life where you live.
Wow, that's great. Sign me up.
Join us and become a member of the Philadelphia TownWatch program.
New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Come on. Now back to more of Between the Minutes, brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus software security, www.cyber.com.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals. While Pete Rodotti's on vacation, I will be your host, guest host, Frank Amabile. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Let's get back to today's show and guest on Between the Minutes. Today joining us is Councilwoman Maria Quiñones Sanchez and State Senator Anthony Hardy Williams. When we left you a little bit ago, our listeners, we were talking about different things about the primary and all the new blood coming into the arena. And believe me, there's a lot of new blood out there. Marie, I'm going to ask you something. Getting back to the primary election, this will be your second term running for office. Is there any of your stands that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, a lot of things. I mean, I think that one of the tough things about tough economic times is that it forces you to really have strong priorities. And one of the things that we tried to do in these last 3 years was try to create an environment for potentially new business and jobs, because the bottom line, Cheech, is jobs, jobs, and more jobs.
Absolutely.
And trying to create jobs. And that's why we worked really hard on the business tax reform, because, you know, when I was running for office in 2000, when I started in 2005, knocking on doors and knocking on some of the companies in the district, they wouldn't even open the door. They didn't want to talk to me. I don't know how many business owners says, I'm tired of government, I'm tired of government, I'm tired of government. And when I won, I went back and knocked on the doors and I said, well, now I'm your councilwoman. Will you open the door? So, of course, now they're okay. We have to sit with you. And what I found was that there were a lot of small businesses. When we talk about the manufacturing sector alone, there's 12,500 manufacturing jobs in my district. That's a lot of jobs.
I'm kidding.
Average pay of about $50,000. Very important. And I found that this business tax is really a detriment for people being located here, making things here. And, you know, we want to get back to Philadelphia producing, Philadelphia selling products, not only in the United States, but across the world. And I think that one of the things that I learned with this is you got to follow the money, because the money tells you whether what we're doing is right or it's not right. And one of the things that we can't do is nickel and dime small businesses. So I think we've made a lot of progress there. There's a lot more that needs to be done. So I want to continue to protect my manufacturers, my small businesses. And the other thing that I found that we've made a lot of success and more to do is with the Department of License and inspection. I think we eliminated something like 60 different licenses. I mean, we had a license for everything, for shooting ducks, for this, for that. I mean, stuff that was just so irrelevant. So I think we've made some progress in the Department of Licenses as it relates to that. I think there's more that we could do there. But clearly, that becomes a detriment for small businesses setting up and creating those jobs. So I want to stay on that course. How do you create affordable housing to get people in houses? On the education front, I'm the only district that opened two brand new schools this year, Kensington Kappa and Willard Elementary School, two projects that we worked on from day one when we got elected. When I ran, I committed that I would bring a charter school to Frankfurt, and we did. We opened up Sankofa, as you saw. Thanks to Dr. Imani and her team, she approached me. She knew I had been a founder of a charter school. She knew charter schools like to locate in my district. I got more charter schools than any other part of the city. And she came to me and she says, Maria, we have this great plan. Would you support it? Would you support me? And I said, yes, if you locate it in Frankfurt. And she said, absolutely. We went to Frankfurt. She looked at the area. She met wonderful people there. And she says, I want to be in Frankfurt. And Sankofa is now at the old Mater Della Rosa school building. It's a wonderful school. It's expanding. So we're hopeful that that we can get another building for them to continue to expand there. So we've stayed the course despite the economic times. I mean, you can sit here and cry and say, we don't have money. Well, there's still other things that we can do. And I think we've learned to do them over the last few years. Now that the NTI money is available, we spent 3 years investigating NTI. Nothing came of it. Now we have the money released. Now we're being very strategic about what we do with our vacant land and how we assemble land for future projects. And I'm very pleased that with the projects that we have on board to happen in the district, and particularly in changing areas, as my neighborhood is of Norris Square. We're right next to Fishtown, just above Northern Liberties. We want to make sure we don't displace people, that new development doesn't mean that we're going to take out the people that have lived there for years, but that they should stay there to enjoy the good times. It's sort of like we live the bad times, you know, and I hear that every time when I knock on the door. It's like, everybody's going to move us out. No, I want people to stay put and be able to live in dignity. So, I mean, we've worked hard. Our recreation centers needed a lot of attention. We've allocated close to $5 million in renovations to all of our recreation centers. A lot of them, you know, we finished Pelbano. It was 10 years behind schedule. Pelbano was started under Rick Mariano. Actually, the initial allocation came from McElhattan to Rick. And I remember when I got elected, one of the first calls I got and one of the first meetings I had was Martin Luther King Monday. In fact, I went up to Pelbano and met with the advisory council there who said, we're sick of this construction. We've been under construction for 10 years. And after that, we were down there every single week until we finished that construction. And we got it done, the Northeast Older Adult Center, which is a beautiful facility. We got that done, too. So I think we've made tremendous progress. I think we've worked well with all the groups. This has been tough, and sometimes you have to say no. And I know nobody likes to be told no. But I think we've been strategic. We've partnered. I have five police districts in my district. And I've worked well with all those five captains to get to do increased bike patrols, equipment, work with the police advisory councils. We give support, financial support to all of the police advisory councils. You know, that's one of the things I wanted to do. My senior centers all get support. My police advisory councils all get support. My smallest dance group to the Garden Club in Frankfurt gets support. Sisters of St. Joe's, you know, on Allegheny Avenue that works with immigrants. I mean, we have about 150 groups that we work with. And whether the contribution is as low as $500 to a few thousand dollars, you know, we show them that their work is appreciated. And I think that's so very important because government can't do this alone. There are a lot of great people working on the ground. And all they want us to know is that they're out there working and that they have our support. And I think we've done that in the last 3 years. And hopefully, God willing, and with the support of the community, we'll be there another four years to continue that work.
You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. Check us out on the website at www.betweentheminutes.com. Maria, as I said earlier, I always looked at you as a mover and shaker, and I'm listening to all this fantastic stuff you're talking about. And a lot of these different places I actually saw, You are definitely a mover and shaker and a person that should be where you're at regardless of opposition. Speaking of which, I don't hear much from your opposition. Are you hearing anything? I mean, you have all these good things going on. You need to be put back in and re-voted in because you have outstanding resume, and you have things that you're moving forward with and things that I'm probably sure are in transition that need you on board for the next 4 years.
Well, one of the things that I told the Northeast Times last week when they were asking me, they said, well, you know, what exactly has Danny been doing the last 3 years? And I said, well, Danny needs to be reeducated about what we've been doing for the last 3 years because Danny hasn't been with us. So he doesn't know.
He's been out of touch.
He's been out of touch and not as engaged in the community. And one of the things that people are smart, you know, people are smart. People, you know, politicians sometimes think they can come around, they can tell a negative story and that people are not smart enough to figure it out. And in this particular district, you can't run and then disappear for three years and then come back and say, oh, she's not doing this and she's not doing that. Maybe I'm not doing that specific thing, but I've been working it. And so it's really hard to tell people she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing when they see me out there, you know, whether it's on the Frankfurt corridor, the rebranding of the Centro de Oro corridor, or Kensington and Allegheny. And we still have a lot of work to do. By no means do I say we've done it all, but we're out there. We're partnering with our CDCs. We're partnering with our civic groups. You know, we're partnering with the police department. Every single new policing strategy has been piloted in the 7th Councilmatic District. So when we talk about crime, we get the issue of crime. We did it in the district. We've done it in the district. In fact, one of the things that has happened with our community policing strategy is neighbors have reclaimed the park on 5th and York. Think about that, Cheech. 5th and York. They reclaimed the park, and they came to me and they said, you know, we want to redo this park, and now we're setting it up. You know, we're redoing the handball court. We're putting a seating area. We're putting a planting area. We're putting a little spray park for the kids there. And that came as a result of neighbors saying to me, we're ready to reclaim this.
That's great stuff.
And I said, then let's reclaim it. And so we've worked with APM and Norris Square Civic. And just last week, the community approved the design. And it was interesting. I had a resident from the neighborhood. She's about 88 years old. And she said, but I don't want you guys to change the name. And I asked her, I said, well, what's the name? And she says, we named that park 25 years ago Rainbow de Colores, Rainbow of Colors. So it was a bilingual name. So I got up in the meeting and said, we're not changing this name. This name was given 25 years ago because 25 years ago, neighbors in this neighborhood wanted to reclaim this park. And so we're in tribute to them and the work that they did in laying the groundwork. You know, the name stays the same. And so she was very happy to hear that. And she says, I hope I'm around when we open it. Now, clearly, we're opening it in 6 months. I was like, of course you're going to be around in 6 months. But that speaks to people and really good people who never give up. Because you imagine. I mean, she did work on this park 25 years ago. She's still there. And now she believes that we are actually going to do something with the park. Because in the beginning when we started the conversation, she's like, are you guys sure? I've heard this story before. So it's because of people like her that I do this job. And with all of the headaches that come with it, it's being able to sit with someone who has that much history in the neighborhood and be able to say, no, we're going to keep the name that you and your group decided 25 years ago.
I got one problem with all this. All your stuff you're saying is phenomenal. How could a person, after 3 years not being hands-on or even involved to an extent or whatever extent he was, even contest the fact of what you've accomplished? My point being is, I would love to have this guy on the show and ask him point blank.
Oh, we should have a debate.
I'd love to have it. Matter of fact, I think that we should, because I'm intrigued to hear what he has to say.
Yep.
I know a little bit about politics, and I have my foot or two into it, and I got a feeling I'm going to be getting a foot or two into it again.
You can't stay out of it.
And it's like kind of in your blood. But I have to hear this. And just not for only my sake, for all our listeners, I would really love to hear this. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. Check us out on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. I'm here with Councilwoman Maria Quiñones Sanchez with all the great programs she's accomplished and all the great programs she's going to accomplish.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
When disaster strikes with a vengeance, Americans strike back with generosity. Thanks to your monetary donations, the Salvation Army is there from the very beginning and remains until the healing is complete, serving the physical and emotional needs of disaster victims and emergency responders. Give today at 1-800-SAL-ARMY or SalvationArmyUSA.org and help the Salvation Army continue doing the most good.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McDavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the ASYMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Now back to more of Between the Minutes, brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus software security, www.cyber.com.
And welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals. While Pete Rodotti is on vacation, I will be your guest host, Frank Amabile. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Let's get back to today's show and guest on Between the Minutes. Today joining us is Councilwoman Maria Quiñones Sanchez and State Senator Anthony Hardy Williams. Well, Maria, let me ask you something else. We were talking about politics, and I think we're going to stay the course because all that good stuff you were discussing, your accomplishments, things that you have in motion, things that you want to see come to fruition. I'm really curious to know. Dan Savage, he held that position, what, for a very short amount of time?
11 months.
And it was in the absence of, unfortunately, Councilman Mariano.
Right. And okay. He was given, through the special election, he was, as I call it, anointed by the party powers, and he couldn't hold on to the seat. So, actually, we beat him after he was there 6 months because he started in November, and in May he had lost his primary, although he served through the end of December.
So, after doing 4 years, accomplishing phenomenal feats that you have, taking care of your constituents, the people in the 7th Charismatic District, and 3 years being absent, he's running. And I'm still waiting to hear what his agenda is. So I really feel that I'm going to reach out to him, and I'd like to know what he's about. I'd like to know, you know, what stance do you feel as though you have to come into a charismatic district that's been well-maintained, well taken care of, and the person doing it being well-respected, what do you think you could do better?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very legitimate question. I think one of the problems in this district has been the instability in leadership, you know, because we went from McElhan to Mariano to Savage temporarily to me. You know, if we're in a good course, we're on track. It's like, why do we want to create that instability again? By bringing in someone who clearly, even in the 11 months that was there, didn't have a grasp of all the issues. This is a very diverse district, Frank. You know, you have so many different constituents here. This is not about, I know the ward leaders. And they're important, you know, and I think committee people are important. Everybody is important. But it's about knowing, you know, what goes on neighborhood to neighborhood, knowing that what you do in Kensington and Allegheny is not what you do in Kensington and Lehigh. It's not what you do on Castor Avenue with the New Brazilian community, or it's not what you do in Bell's Corner with the Russian-speaking community. It's knowing that there are differences, respecting that, and figuring out how do you work with people where they're at and how does government intervene appropriately in all this stuff. And so that's not a simple task, and it's not one that people learn overnight. The Northeast part of the district.
And I don't think it's something you could do in 11 months.
Well, no, it's not. And you definitely can't sit out 3 years and not try to figure it out in those 3 years. I mean, if he was coming and running for me after challenging me publicly on different issues, after being in the district and saying we're not doing this, then it's one thing. But he hasn't been there. In fact, the only major issue that he's brought to my attention has been the issue of recovery houses, which he has about 150 in his ward. And him and his father have been the ward leader there 40 years. There's 150 recovery homes, and it's my fault.
and it's I have a hard time with that.
Hello? So I'm like, this is not my problem. I inherited it. I'm going to work at it. But you can't overnight, you can't tell me if you've been in power, you and your dad for 40 years, you're going to tell me that this is now I created this situation. It's a problem that's been created. And unfortunately, it speaks to the fact that we need recovery. And that's been one of the issues. He's wanted me to say I'm against recovery. I'm not against recovery. We all know folks in recovery. We all know folks who need recovery. We all know folks who are waiting lists on recovery.
Absolutely.
We need to monitor them. We need to make sure that these homes are good neighbors to people. And, you know, the result of all of that, we did two town halls. There was a lot of fighting. Now the recovery houses are monitoring themselves. They've arranged a coalition. You know, we're talking to them about, you know, how are you a good neighbor? When we have cleanups, they come out and they do their cleanups because, you know, when I talk to these young men and women, because there's a few houses that are women, they want to be better. They want to be better people. So they're in recovery because they need help. And then we're sitting there politically debating where they should be located. Do I want any more in the area? Absolutely not, because I think it's more than their fair share in the area. But the ones that are there, we're going to work with them. And the bad ones, we're going to continue to close them down. We'll work with the police department. We set up a task force with LNI. So it's easy to throw stones when you live in a glass house.
Absolutely.
But it's another thing to say, okay, what do we do with this short term? How do we get here? There was a gentleman who wrote a book, Fairbanks, who 2 years ago reached out to me, who wrote a book 10 years ago talking about recovery in Kensington. 10 years ago. And he documented the growth of the need for recovery in that particular area because of all the factories closing down. I mean, he put it in a social economic context. And he had heard that politically this was being used against me. And he reached out to me. He was at Drexel University doing a presentation. He came over to the office. I had him brief the staff for 2 hours on the book, picked up his book, read it, and say, wow, this is deeper. This is much deeper than anything any of us ever imagined. And when you have that deeper understanding, you say, okay, we want to make sure that these folks are good neighbors, but we also want to understand what led to the economics of people becoming addicted and then going into that particular area, and what's all the economy behind that.
You know, doing your homework, being thorough, looking at every aspect is a great thing. It would be catastrophic, in my opinion, if somebody came in, just surfaced it, and that one bad step set you back three.
Yep.
And you're not looking to do that. I mean, every move and decision made is to keep us in a progression in a positive manner.
There are consequences.
Of greed. And I just can't see somebody coming in cold, taking on these issues without doing the due diligence, as you did.
It's in his backyard. It's been there.
If sometimes the things under your nose are the last thing you see, and usually I won't vote for a guy like that.
Yeah, it's incredible. Councilwoman Tasco often says, I don't want to act in haste because I don't want to repent in leisure. And, you know, you want to react to stuff in a crazy way without really looking at all the unintended consequences. And I think the recovery situation in Frankfurt is an unintended consequence when we have the homelessness that we've had, you know, particularly men. There's a huge issue with men. And the fact that most people, when they're let out of prison, they're given one token. Where do you think they end up? Frankfurt Terminal. One token. They catch a bus. Where do they end up? Frankfurt. I mean, there's something as simple as that I didn't really get it. I was talking to a group of one of the group homes, and I was asking the guy, how did you end up in Frankfurt? And he told me that. I got one token. This is as far as I got. So I think this is serious. And I understand for the neighbors their frustration when we have bad recovery houses, but it is clearly something that didn't happen overnight, and it's not going to be resolved overnight. So, you know, again, I want to thank you, Frank, for this opportunity. I think that someone like you with a wealth of experience in terms of neighborhoods and politics gets this, gets how important the work that needs to be done, how important it is that we do this work and we do it in a very strategic way. So I appreciate the opportunity you've given me, the CyberSoft has given me, and in between the minutes.
And we look forward to having you back. It was a great, great show. And thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on 1540 AM and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. We will be back next week with more Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The preceding program was brought to you by the CyberSoft Operating Corporation.
AM. 1540. WNWR.